everyone, welcome to the podcast. Well, this week's episode is an exciting one because it's our 1 year anniversary. This podcast has been going for 52 weeks. I can't believe it. It's crazy to think that this little podcast has managed to keep going and going, and it is getting bigger and stronger, and we've got some amazing things lined up for the next year ahead. But anyway, back to this week's podcast. I have to admit, this week has been hectic, really crazy. Oh, I almost feel like this could have been the week when we actually didn't get a podcast out, which is funny considering it is the 1 year anniversary episode. But anyway, we did. So this week we're chatting about why we've been so busy. It's all to do with an exhibition that I'm having. So join us as we chat about the exhibition, how it came to be, and all the things that have gone into bringing it to fruition. We hope you find it interesting and you enjoy our 1 year anniversary episode.
Hello, Laura. How are you going?
I want to say that I'm good, but I'm also very tired.
Yeah.
It's been a big day. It's funny because it is our 1 year anniversary.
It is indeed the 52nd episode.
So I was thinking that we would do something special for this and be organized. And I don't know, I had just had this idea that we would make this a big episode. The reality is this is the first week where I've actually felt like we may not get a podcast out because it's been a hectic week. We have no notes. So this big fancy episode celebrating our 1 year of podcasting has turned into a last minute, let's see what happens episode.
We're out in your studio Looking at your Sala exhibition.
Yes, I am doing an install. We are doing an install tomorrow for the South Australia Living Artist Festival, and I've got an exhibition in that, and it's in the cafe where I normally show my work, so in local crowd. One of the things that I wanted to do was put it together more as an exhibition rather than the way that I normally manage the cafe, which is kind of when something sells to pop in, change something over. And it's a little bit more, dare I say it, ad hoc, you know. But I wanted to do a complete changeover, have everything feel cohesive and have, I guess, a concept behind it, approach it like an exhibition. So that's what I did. And that's the shift that I'm making in the cafe generally. Rather than changing things over here and there, I am working towards a complete changeover every 2 months, Which means effectively I'm having an exhibition every 2 months.
Yeah, well, the last one was Mother's Day.
Yeah, so we put a new one in May, and now, yeah, just over 2 months now. It's all right, May, June, July. Oh, it's been 3 months.
So your exhibition starts on Thursday when Sala officially commences.
Mm-hmm. It is inspired by our walks, actually, our art estates and being out in nature and really looking and noticing things when you're out and about and looking at the ground, pulling things back, seeing what patterns and shapes. Very much inspired by just our local area. So places like the Hallett Cove Conservation Park. So anyone who knows Adelaide, I live in Hallett Cove. About slowing down and noticing what you see and looking further, like lifting things up, looking behind things, looking underneath things, scraping back, all that. And it's linked to the process that I make my art with as well. So it's inspired by the natural environment, but also the processes that I use that in many ways mimic things that happen in nature. I thought that I'd pulled this all together just in the last few days, but you reminded me that this work I started months ago. I haven't actually just scrambled it together. There's been a lot of work that's been going on that I hadn't really thought about. A lot of the work that I've done for this class is also the work that I did for our recent online class. So the class that we released recently is called Braver Things, and it's all about digging in deep with a theme. And I used the same theme for that class as what I've been, so I've shared my own personal work and personal approach, which was the same work that I've been doing to get this exhibition together. So it's been really great because some of the pieces that I shared in that class are now going into an exhibition. So I've just spent the last few days getting them all together, giving them titles, varnishing them, pulling them to that point of completion.
Because you have a mixture of substrates, don't you? You've got canvas and boards.
Yeah, and paper. What I decided to do was have a theme, a colour palette. So it's a very tight colour palette. It's very earthy, lots of browns, rich browns, terracotta, creamy, a little bit of olive green, but it's mostly in the browns. If you've been on my Instagram feed, you would have seen a lot of the recent work. One of the reasons I chose to have such a tight colour palette was because I knew that I'd be working across a number of different substrates and I wanted a way of tying it all together. And now looking at the work, I feel that that's been very successful because I think if I hadn't have had such a tight colour palette and really focused in on that earthy feel and the ground and all those sorts of things that were inspiring me. So it's very much inspired by dirt, soil, sticks. They were the main things, and rocks. So that's what this exhibition has been inspired by. And the colour palette matches up to that or is associated with that. It brings it all together. And I think if I had gone too wide, it probably would feel quite disconnected because there is quite a bit of variation in the materials and things that I'm using. But it looks really cool because you've got that variety, but then you've got that common thread.
Yeah, that's brown.
Can't get past the fact that this is a very brown body of work. I'm wondering where I should go next, because what I'll probably do is put this exhibition in tomorrow, and then it's just a lovely sense of closure. I'm already starting to tidy my studio up, put things away to create space for the next body of work. And yes, the work that I do is very seasonal. And in fact, some of the people that have been watching the online class, you know, they're on the other side of the world. And I'm talking about autumn and winter and coziness, and they're hot and at the beach. And it's interesting that people notice how impacted I am by the seasons. And that's been a thread in my work for years now. Like as soon as it gets to autumn, winter out, I dig out all the browns, and now we're going to be heading into spring. I'm thinking, I don't know, I think in colour. I don't know why that is, but that's where I start. I just think about colour and then the rest of the ideas come from there. So I'm thinking blues and greens, maybe something a bit fresher.
Is there a colour that always comes across?
Yeah.
So now when you transfer over, you will lose a lot of your colours, but you'll hang on to one or maybe two.
Yeah, there's always a couple that tie my work. So you won't see this massive like jump into this completely different palette. It's usually a bit of a subtle shift. So what I'll tend to do is like tone the browns down and then like maybe lift up the greens so the work becomes more fresh and green and grass, new life and the shoots coming up through the ground. So I'll start to explore that and then shift the palette, but there'll still be some of those, particularly the browns and the peachy browns, because they're in all my work. Yeah. So it's, you know, that's just the way that I kind of move through my art. Yeah, it's just a seasonal way of working. So I'm excited to see what's next. I'll start jotting down ideas. I will go back to the beginning of the process for me, which is writing, brainstorming, walking, getting out and about. I'm planning on having some time off in the next week or so because I've had a really busy couple of weeks with a new online class and this exhibition. So now's a good time to just take a step back, allow new inspiration to come in. And this time as well that I really like to clean up my studio, put things away, maybe do a new kind of inspiration board, look through all of my art supplies.
Wall needs a lick of paint.
Yes, maybe even paint the studio wall. I'll go through all of my art supplies because I've used up a lot of stuff to do this exhibition, so I need to do a stock take. I'll do an order. I'll start making decisions about the next body of work. I've already got some ideas because there are a few things I did in this body of work which I loved and I want to keep exploring. So I've been working on wooden panels more than canvas. I'm enjoying that surface, that substrate a lot. I always say this every time I work on wooden panels, but then I go back to canvas. But I want to keep with the wooden panels for a bit. So I'm already thinking that I'm going to order some of those. And we're also looking into getting some made up so we can go bigger. So it's about reflecting on the work that I've done and thinking about what I want to bring into the next body of work, but also then leaving some space for new stuff to emerge.
Does that mean less layers?
Yes, there's a few things that I'm enjoying. I'm enjoying a simpler style of art. In the past, a lot of my work has been a lot of layers, a lot of mark making. Lately, I've been dialing that back a little bit. These pieces that are going into this exhibition, there are a few of them that are very simple. Couple of circles, overlapping shapes, a lot of negative space, simple color palettes. This is super exciting to me, this kind of more minimalistic vibe. I've been chasing this minimalism for so long. Last year sometime we released a course called Minimal Magic, and that was the beginning for me, the beginning of a process of refining my art and using less supplies, being much more deliberate, intentional about the way I work, how I set up my space, how I choose my colors. Ever since then, I've just, been on a fantastic journey with my art, and that was definitely a pivotal moment. And I know that for many people that do my classes, that course had a big impact on them too. So I'm going to be continuing. I'm almost like a student of my own teaching sometimes. I go back to things that I have shared, look at how I can continue to follow those processes. I mean, that doesn't really make sense because they are my processes anyway, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Sometimes I actually do go back to older work or older classes and look at them for my own inspiration.
The thing I love about the boards, all the marks, all the scrapes, all the etchings, they're just...
It's that hard surface underneath. It's so conducive to mark making because it's so firm. It's more like drawing on a table or, a piece of paper, whereas a canvas is springy and bouncy and it has that texture. It's a little bit harder to get those defined marks or those really strong, or like the etching and that, to get it to that level of definition. And so that's one thing that I'm finding too with the wooden panels. It suits my process or way of working a bit better than canvas. Yeah, hoping to do a lot more work on wood. And for me, there's just something nice about wood too, like just the wood grain, and it just feels right. There's something about it that I really like. So it's really cool to be able to go back at your work and just make these observations and decide what it is that you are loving. And then some things you're sort of like, maybe not next time.
So we're sitting here in the studio with 18 pieces of art. Take us through the process that you will go through tomorrow. You wake up tomorrow morning and...
I wake you up. I give you a nudge. We load up the car. We'll go into the cafe. It is a cafe, so it's different to if you were doing this in a gallery. You've got to work with the cafe owner and the fact that there's people in the cafe, and we get there as early as we can, but this cafe opens very early. So we've got to work around that. So we try and get there when there's the most chance that we're going to have time to actually move things around and have a good look. I have been thinking about the space beforehand, so I've already got a pretty good idea where everything is going to go in the cafe. I know the walls, the size, where the light is, the best spots, all of that, because I've been exhibiting in this cafe for 3 years now. You know, it's important to take those sorts of things into consideration. Yeah, we will then be hanging the pieces, adding their little cards with their titles on, sharing some photos and posts and promoting the exhibition so that people can go and check it out.
Without fail, the people tend to be regulars. They're like, oh, so you're the artist. You're the person that does this beautiful work. And it's really nice.
They're curious about what's going on, seeing the art come down, asking questions and things like that. So it's quite different, as I said, to if you were going to be putting together a gallery exhibition. This is much more casual, and there'll be conversations that will be had tomorrow as we're putting things in. Questions will be asked. There's a lot of locals. They are very aware that I've been the artist there for several years, so it's friendly, I guess is what I'm trying to say. It's very friendly and warm, and it's something that I have never left local crowd. So I'm not sure if I mentioned that before, but that's the name of the cafe. In case anyone who's listening is in Adelaide and wants to go check out the exhibition, which is on the Strand in Kernelight Gardens. I'll link it in the show notes. And on that note, having an exhibition or somewhere that you show your art regularly, it's just so good for your art practice. It holds you accountable to actually finishing things. And I find that I work so well under pressure. I really need a deadline. And sometimes it's Abdullah, the cafe owner, who contacts me and kind of gives me a little bit of a kick up the butt. And I need that. I need something that makes me focus and bring things to completion, because I love making art, but I'm not a big fan of finishing it, like painting edges, varnishing. In fact, it makes me quite cranky. I really don't like that part of it. As you found out today. So I'm looking at recruiting you, actually.
Got a new job.
Yeah, I found out today that Richie's really good at varnishing. Very even, clean space, methodical, all those good things. So I think I've found you a new job.
Another one.
Yeah, so it's so good to have that pressure, I guess, to finish things and bring it all together, because when you do, it feels great. And you're capable of so much more than you realize. Sometimes you just need that little bit of focus. And you know what? This exhibition came about because when I was running the retreat, so I ran a retreat in Bali in April, the lovely ladies on the retreat, we were having a conversation talking about exhibitions, and I was saying how good it is to put yourself out there and have a deadline. And at that point, I realized, well, I should do that too. And I put in my Sala exhibition application. So it was from being on that retreat around others that it reminded me of how important it is to set yourself little challenges. Mm. And an exhibition is a great little challenge, or it can be a big challenge, but it doesn't have to be big. There's lots of opportunities to exhibit, and you can do small scale stuff. You can be part of a group show. I mean, Sala, you just need to find a venue. It's open to anyone to participate in. That's a wonderful way of getting involved in the South Australian art scene. And I'm sure there's very similar festivals all over the world, and art walks and things like that, where you can get involved. I'm a big fan, you know, and I used to do the art markets, a little bit different, but it's a, you know, similar way of getting yourself out there on the scene.
This time we should get out and go round and have a look at some of the exhibitions. We said we were going to do it last year. Mm. We never did, so.
Well, this is a perfect opportunity for us to go on an artist date and go and check out a whole lot of Sala exhibitions. So
it's in the newspaper, isn't it?
Yeah, and it goes for the whole month. And there's places where you can, you know, go to one of the main streets in Adelaide and check out 10 exhibitions in one hit. Pop into shops and cafes and they're all full of art. It's the most fabulous thing.
Sounds great.
So we'll do that. I did it another year with someone else, wasn't with you, and it was, yeah, it was lovely. Right.
So you've worked right up until tonight. It's kind of like, yeah, cramming for your exam.
Yes, and always the way.
And I think after this podcast, you have a couple of edges to paint.
I do, because I realized, this is one of those things, I thought I'd had everything finished. And then I looked at, I've got some little mini pieces. They're in like 10 inch by 10 inch. And I must have been half asleep painting the edges, because some of them only painted two edges. So I've got a few odd bods that I need to fix.
So in true Laura Horn art podcast fashion.
Yeah.
Can you give us some tips on what not to do or what to do if you have an exhibition coming up?
I like the way that you've worded that, because I don't feel like I'm actually an expert in exhibitions, but just from my experience.
Well, that's the great thing about this podcast. Yeah. We barrel along making loads of mistakes, and then just when we think we've got it, then we'll say, this is what not to do.
Okay, I'll think about a few things not to do. One thing I would say is to think about your space beforehand. So you've got to find a space first. There are many different options as far as that goes. But, you know, if you're going to be exhibiting in a gallery or a cafe or a retail space, see if you can go in and have a look and see what's there. Like, because I have painted things that don't fit and got it all wrong, you know, and look at the light as well and where sort of the main focus is going to be, and look at how you can hang things. What does the space have a hanging system? Are you going to need to sort something out or negotiate with the owner about banging a few nails in a wall or all that sort of stuff? So check out your space and know what its possibilities are, but also its limitations. Choose, you know, your substrates that you're going to work on based on the space. Also think ahead of time if you want to get things framed. I was thinking about getting some pieces framed, but guess what? I didn't get them finished in time. So that didn't happen. Things like framing, particularly when you've got something like a Sala festival. So in South Australia, Sala is huge. There are so many artists participating in this event. And that means that your framing store is absolutely, they're run off their feet doing work for artists. So
I was only in there the other day and it was packed.
Yeah, so you can't walk in there a few days before your exhibition and expect to get something framed or matted or anything like that. So you need to think ahead. As far as the actual art, I would definitely suggest having some kind of theme and spending time doing what I like to call your groundwork, your brainstorming, your color swatching, your testing out ideas and allowing the idea to develop. And if you want an easy way to help things come together, then having a color palette or something that threads the work. So some common elements and identifying those from the outset. So it could be the substrate, it could be the color palette, it could be the shapes that you use or the imagery, but just having some things that you're going to see repetition or variation of through the whole exhibition. It just makes it all sing together. The other thing, and it's similar to the framing, leave time for varnishing and finishing and double the amount of time that you think it's going to take, because this catches me out every single time. I still haven't got there yet. I haven't had an exhibition or an art market where I haven't been doing something like I'm about to do now, painting edges the night before or framing things up the night before. It just takes a lot longer than you think to do all the little bits. Even just this afternoon, I was finalizing all my pricing, doing up the little labels, doing all these things last minute, of course, but it took me a couple of hours just to think of titles for the pieces, and all of that sort of stuff takes time. So having a checklist as well is really helpful, and setting up templates. So I have templates that I use for my pricing, you know, my price list and all that sort of stuff. So
even touching up.
Yeah, touching up as well, like allowing yourself time. It frustrates me when I don't allow that time and there's things that I want to do, like little, you know, little corrections, little edits, but I just don't have the time because I haven't given myself enough space to actually refine the work and polish it and get it really, really well executed. There's nothing worse than that rushed job, you know, because you know you can do better.
You have a couple of edges to paint, but it's not rushed. Everything is done.
No, this is probably, even though it is the day before, there's been other things where I've been doing stuff up until, you know, 1 or 2 in the morning the night before. So I'm feeling actually quite organized relative to other occasions.
Well, let's wrap up and let's get these pieces finished. Yes. And the most underwhelming 1 year podcast ever.
So sorry, guys, this 1 year podcast episode has been, a mixed bag. But I hope you found it interesting to hear about the process that I've gone through in developing my latest exhibition. And maybe there's some tips there for you if you are thinking about, or perhaps you have your own exhibition coming up in the future. And I just want to say a huge thank you. This is our 52nd episode, and that is crazy. Just crazy. I can't believe we're still here doing this, and we're loving it. We haven't missed a week. We have thoroughly enjoyed reading your comments, getting your emails, seeing your stories. Yeah, we really look forward to what the next year brings. And on that note, there's lots of good stuff coming. We've got other artists' interviews lined up. We have got some great ideas about topics that we feel will be really helpful and inspiring for all of you. So, yeah, I hope that you'll be with us to celebrate the next year anniversary. So I hope you stick with us and continue to enjoy our little podcast every week.